modern life. Between careers, kids, and health, it can be mayhem. That's why we're here. I'm Dr. Lisa Varghese-Kroll.
And I'm Dr. Lanre Falusi. We're physicians, moms, and longtime friends who break it all down for you. Wondering how to juggle all the balls and still stay sane? Looking for advice but don't want to be overwhelmed?
Curious about how to make the most out of life for your family but enjoy it at the same time? You're in the right place. Welcome to Health and Home with the Hippocratic Hosts. On this episode, we're here to take some of the stress out of parenting infants and toddlers. Whether it's how much time you spend with your baby, or your child's development, or the dreaded potty training, we're sharing what we worried about so that you don't have to. Listen up for reassurance and lots of tips for raising our little ones. Hey, Lon.
Hey, Lise. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Oh, how is it possible that 2022 is already over?
Seriously. It just went by so fast. So did you make any resolutions this year?
Alas, no. My brain went on strike and said it won't take one more thing on its plate. How about you?
Oh, I hear that. Yeah, I feel the same. I think 2022 went by so fast. You know, everything ramped up so quickly, even early on in the year. I think people were feeling like we had come out of the worst part of the pandemic, and it was all just so fast. I don't think I spent enough time just slowing down, you know, reflecting, making sure I was spending time in worthwhile efforts, keeping up with people I love, you know, all those things. So I think, I don't know if this is a specific resolution, but I do want to try to be more intentional this year in how I spend my time and try to reflect a little bit more.
Oh, makes total sense. I mean, I think we could all work on staying zen and not worrying as much and being in the moment.
Right? Right? Amen to that. And I mean, speaking of worrying, a few episodes back, we talked about starting the school year with kids and things that, you know, parents often worry about but don't need to.
Right. And today we're doing the same for parenting younger ages. What have we and other parents worried about with our kids under five and what we really did not need to worry about? So we're going to talk about typical worries that have to do with general parenting and health, and then specifically about infants and then toddlers.
That's right. And, you know, before we get into it, we just want to say, we aren't saying that you should never worry about your little one, right? I mean, even if we did say that, we know the moment a child is born, you worry about them for their entire lives. And sometimes, like, something may truly be a problem. So don't hesitate to check with your child's doctor if you're concerned about their health or development or their behavior.
Right. Because our goal is to reassure you that you're not alone in these worries.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So let's start with talking about just kind of general parenting and health. So the babycenter.com website surveyed about 2,400 parents and asked them what their fears are for their children. Number one was, I'm afraid my child won't get the education and opportunities she needs to reach her potential.
Oh,
isn't that so tough to hear?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's understandable. Absolutely. That that's a concern, right? The economy is often unstable. Who knows what higher education will look like 15 or 20 years from now, or how much it's going to cost.
Right.
And I can imagine that just leads to a lot of anxiety among parents and a very reasonable desire to get our kids off to a good start in the early years. But here's the problem. You know, the toy industry knows this, and that's why there are, I don't know, 827 gazillion educational toys on the market. You know, parents are made to feel that we have to expose our babies and toddlers to every brain-stimulating toy out there, right?
Right, totally. I have felt that way. I have the
right?
same anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. So guess how many new toys the average American child gets each year?
Okay, each year. 20?
70.
Oh my God.
Wow, right?
Wow.
70 new toys a year. Which, like, I guess if you add up, you know, all the, like, giveaways at birthday parties and the things that your kids, like, talk you into getting them for Christmas or other holidays or their birthdays, I guess it could add up to 70.
Oh
Isn't
my
that wild?
Gosh, yes.
Yeah. But apparently kids who are more creative tend to have fewer toys. You know, Marie Kondo, our favorite, she's even said that like toy organization is only a thing in the West, and that Japanese kids have far fewer toys than American kids, and they do just fine. So, you know, parents out there, fight that urge to buy those toys that promise to get your 9-month-old into Harvard's early action program.
Wait, you know, so it's not going to do that?
Probably not. Yeah.
I have a return policy. I may need to check. Keep going. Yeah. Carry on.
I mean, honestly, some books, a few simple toys like blocks, and playtime with you, the parent. Those are the best ways to stimulate your little ones.
So, you know, that brings us to another common worry, which is that you're not doing enough as a parent, including not spending enough time with your little one, right? I mean, I don't think any of us are immune to that worry, especially if you're a parent who works outside the home. This probably really resonates with you as it did with us, as it still does with us often. So here's the good news. A number of studies have shown that quality time can be more important than the quantity of time that you spend. So try to focus on two things. One is your responsiveness to your child's needs. So if your baby or toddler is sending cues that they're hungry or tired or just need some cuddling, your ability to respond helps them feel bonded to you. And we'll talk in a few minutes about the fear of spoiling your child, because this responsiveness is related to those immediate needs for positive attention. And then number two is pick some daily routines, even if it's just one, and make it part of your repertoire. So if you're working all day and you don't have unlimited hours with your kids, pick something that's enjoyable, like reading to them, that you can do together every evening to wind down. Or if they love some other activity, like drawing or crawling around like favorite animals, having a routine where you do some fun, largely unstructured activity together daily can build those strong bonds.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And just a side note, too, I think this idea that a child's parents are fully responsible for filling the child's needs, that's a pretty recent and very Western idea, right? I mean, a lot of cultures thrive on, you know, multi-generational households and circles of friends who help one another care for their children.
Right.
So if you feel like you can't do it all on your own, that's okay, because you weren't meant to. You know, so give yourself some grace, you know, focus on those high quality experiences rather than, you know, beating yourself up for having to work all day. So kind of related to that, another worry that parents will often have is giving your child what they want without spoiling them, like we were saying. Let's start with newborns. First, you can't spoil a newborn. And we usually recommend through those first 3 months, go ahead and pick up the baby anytime he cries. Feed, soothe, play, you know, give all the attention to them. Typically, the earliest age that babies are ready for sleep training is about 3 months, 3 to 4 months. So the advice for nighttime attention might change around that point. But, you know, beyond those first few months, it's totally understandable that parents worry about how not to spoil, but still seem responsive to the child's needs. One of my favorite aunties, Auntie Lola, if you're listening, talking about you, gave my husband and me some really great advice, even before we had kids. Like, her advice was, once your kids learn to do something on their own, don't do it for them again.
So I like that.
Yeah, like feeding themselves or putting clothes on, other self-care skills. Once they have mastered that skill, you step back and let them do that. And that, for her, was like the number one way that she like did not spoil her kids, right? Like they learned that skill, they gained that confidence, they were able to learn more, you know, start that foundation. And this isn't like universal dogma. Like, there are some things that you're like you will want to do or need to do for your child, even if they know how to do it. I mean, you're trying to get out the door and like, maybe you just don't have the time to wait 10 minutes for them to get like one leg into the pants and the other leg. Sometimes you just got to do it, you know, help them out and get out the door. But I do think it's a great rule of thumb. And that is how we get our kids to be a little more independent and not like fully depend on you for everything. If that is your definition of being spoiled, like always depending on the parents to do everything for them and not doing anything for themselves. That I thought was really great advice that, you know, like 10 years later still sticks with me.
I love that. That's really good. Thank you, Auntie Lola. Because yeah. I mean, I feel like in this age of helicopter parenting, that is a challenge for parents of our generation. But it's mm-hmm. but it's very true. Otherwise, we end up with 16-year-olds that can't tie their shoes and, you know, all right. these kinds of like horror stories. Right. So I think exactly. That's a really good thing to just keep in the back of your back of our minds. Can our kids do it for themselves? Then they probably should.
They probably should. Exactly. Exactly. Don't swoop in every time to right. like save them and do it for them.
So the next worry is worrying that your child is not developing on time. So, you know, you're picking up your 9-month-old from daycare and she happily crawls towards you. Your heart is full, right? Rainbows
oh my gosh.
Are appearing, birds First are chirping. Thing, yes. But then you look over and a kid the same age is running to her mom. You know, with perfect Olympic form, she's handing a relay baton over the contralateral shoulder.
Now all my heart sudden, is broken.
Right, your kid doesn't look so great. But before you start searching the web with a box of Kleenex, you know, to find out whether or not your kid is really meeting her milestones, let us reassure you. It's helpful for parents to know what to expect at each age. And that's a huge part of a pediatrician's guidance at checkups. I know we really relied on our pediatrician for that. But more important than the actual age when your child is meeting each of the developmental stages is how they're progressing. Are they going logically from rolling to sitting to pulling up to standing in a predictable pattern, even if they start a little later or move through the stages a little more slowly than is typical? If so, then your child's doctor is probably not too concerned. And if they aren't, then you don't need to be either.
Right. And I, you know, I think this really resonates with me because I've mentioned before, our middle child has Down syndrome, and mm-hmm. parenting a child with special needs, I think it's opened up my world in a completely different way around the developmental milestones. Mm-hmm. And just like we were saying, you know, cheering each milestone as it's met, even if it comes a little bit later. And, you know, we have a different situation where we expected that she might be on a different trajectory than, say, like a typically developing child. But I think this is true for any child.
Yeah.
That, you know, sort of cheer as they go on. And if you are concerned, or if your child's doctor is concerned, the great thing is, in most places, there are adequate therapies that can kind of help right. as needed, and or at least to help them continue on their own path or trajectory. One of my favorite sayings that I like almost daily have to say to myself too is, and I didn't make this up myself, is comparison is a thief of joy.
I right? love so, like, that. Yes.
Right? Like that 9-month-old crawling toward mm-hmm. you and you're just like bursting and you're like loving it, but then comparing them to, you know, the right. like
the Olympian over there. Yeah.
The Olympian that's like running to her mom or his mom. It can definitely steal your joy. So, but don't let it, you know,
absolutely.
Comparing your kid to others definitely will steal your joy. And it's not worth it. It's right. not worth it.
Oh, I think that's so profound, Lon. I love that. And I think that's really true for every single parent out there. There mm-hmm. is always someone you can compare to.
Yeah.
You know, but right. life is short, man. So exactly. yeah, we got to focus on exactly. the gift that we have for sure.
Absolutely.
And we love your special one, of course.
Oh my gosh, she's like a silver butterfly. <Yes. laughs>
So moving on to specific worries about newborns in their first few months. Now, the first one is morbid, but we have to mention it because it is a common worry. Parents of newborns often worry that their baby will die while they're asleep. You may be worried about sudden unexplained infant death, SUID, or sudden infant death syndrome, often known as SIDS. Or you might not put a specific label to it, but you might just feel anxious whenever your baby is sleeping quietly. You're wondering if they're still breathing. Now, we know it's fruitless to just say, don't worry about this, when we know that SUID and SIDS are real. But we also like to say that knowledge is power and mm-hmm. action can reduce anxiety, right? This is like our mantra. So know how to reduce the risk of SIDS in babies under 12 months old. You know, this includes always placing your baby alone, no pillows, blankets, or toys, always placing her on her back, and always placing them in a crib or bassinet. And also make sure not to smoke at all, or at the very least, not inside the home. Keep the crib or bassinet in the room with you for the first 6 to 12 months. Breastfeed if you can, and don't sleep with the baby on a couch or in your bed. And we'll include these recommendations in our show notes on our website at hippocraticcoast.com.
Yeah, and I'll say, you know, pediatricians are not immune to this worry either. I can relate. I actually, in medical school, you probably remember this, Lise, my research project was on SIDS.
I totally
and,
do.
Yeah. And like wrote a paper with like my mentor and I was like, I know, you know, like what to do to prevent it. But with our first kid, I would like hover over her crib. Like, are you breathing? Are you breathing? Like poke her until she moved. Like, okay, she's
until
breathing.
She awoke, right?
Until she awoke and probably was like, what is your problem, woman? I was sleeping. Who don't you know? Don't wake a sleeping
right.
baby. Yeah. So I mean, these are real things that happen, mm-hmm. like we said. But just saying that to let you know that you are not alone if this is your concern, right? Like you can know what all the risk factors are, but still like worry about your child.
Totally. And I mean, I can say the same, you know, I mean, I feel like a lot of it is a survival instinct for mm-hmm. parents to be that worried about their children's breathing is because, you know, there was probably a prehistoric time when that was a legitimate concern that your baby yeah. would pass during their sleep. So, you know, it's completely normal. You don't need to feel weird
exactly.
about it, but we can definitely do things to manage it.
Right, right.
So another worry that we often have or often hear about is worrying that the baby is crying too much. Now, crying is how babies communicate pretty much all of their needs. I'm hungry, I peed, I pooped, I'm dirty, I'm cold, I'm tired, I'm not tired, I have no idea what I'm crying about, it's Tuesday. I mean, it's just your baby being super efficient, right? Like, why use a bunch of words? You know, why be wordy when you can just scream at the top of your lungs? I mean, honestly, why is that socially unacceptable for adults to do too? You know, I need to write a letter.
I would love to do that.
Seriously. But regardless, it is completely normal for newborns to cry a lot. I'm sorry, but it is normal. Usually crying increases at about 2 to 4 weeks of age, and then it peaks around a month and a half to 2 months of age, particularly that early evening crying where there isn't a real clear reason why the baby is crying. We totally acknowledge it's frustrating, it's exhausting, mm-hmm. but it's normal. This too shall pass. But in the meantime, do feel free to talk with your child's doctor about ways to soothe babies at that age. My husband and I, we always like to make up silly songs with ridiculous lyrics when our babies were crying. I mean, I can only blame it on all the sleep deprivation. But, you know, now they're 13 and 9 and still sing them. So I don't know whether to be proud or mortified.
I need videos of this.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh. No such video evidence will exist. They will not allow it.
And so another common worry about the infant age is that when you go back to work after having a baby and your baby is going to be taken care of by a daycare or by a nanny or a babysitter, it is normal to worry that your baby will like forget you or that you won't bond as closely. It's totally understandable, right? Your baby is now spending most of their waking hours 5 or more days a week with other people. You know, I actually did worry about this, and my worry was only confirmed when my first child started daycare. She was about 9 months old and had been at the daycare for maybe 2 weeks. I went to go pick her up one day and she put her hands up and said, "Mama," to the daycare teacher.
Oh, poor Lottery.
The teacher was actually mortified. And I, you know, I may have cried in the car on the way.
Oh my gosh. Totally understandable. Totally understandable. We have right? all been there.
Exactly. But what happened, like, you know, a couple of months later, have you seen that like commercial for Family Guy with his name Stewie, the kid who's like mama, mama, yes. mommy, mommy, mom, mama. So that was like a month or two later when I was right. like, can you just forget my right. name? Yeah. So, you know, it all comes back. Like it is, right. as you said before, very normal for babies to be taken care of by people outside of their mm-hmm. parents. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. Your baby will not forget you. Even if they call someone else mama, you are their one mama or you know, whatever parent or grandparent or guardian that you are. And they will not forget you, even if you're, you know, even if they're in daycare all day.
Right. Exactly. Which is comforting to remember.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's end the newborn worries on a lighter note poop, and snot. Lanre's favorite, if you listened to episode 50.
Love snot. Love snot.
Wow. If you need some background explanation for that, and who doesn't, go back and listen to episode 50. We'll wait. Now, in those first several months, many parents worry that their baby's poop color changes frequently. It's a tarry black in the first few days, then it becomes more green, then it goes more yellow. But there's generally no need to worry if it goes back and forth between green, yellow, and brown. You may see all sorts of interesting colors once they start eating solid foods. The only colors that pediatricians really worry about are bright red, that could indicate blood, black, which could also be blood, and white, which could be a sign of a problem with the liver. As for snot, whether it's clear, yellow, or green doesn't indicate whether it's a bacterial infection versus a common viral infection. So don't worry if you're seeing green snot. It doesn't mean that your baby's sicker than if it was yellow. But of course, as with anything else, call your child's doctor if your child seems sick, especially if they're having trouble breathing.
It literally could talk about snot all day. But maybe we should move on to toddlers.
I mean, just maybe. I mean, you know, the jury's out. But
right. No one else wants to hear about it all day. No one. All right. We'll move on. So let's talk about toddlers. So I know that we worried about whether or not our kids were eating enough fruits and veggies during the toddler years. And we have a couple in those toddler years right now. They can be so picky at this age, right? No matter how hard you try. So we worried about this, but you, dear listener, you don't have to, because there's the podcast for that. If you check out episode 20 of this very podcast, which we call Everyone Romaine Calm, Getting Kids to Eat More Fruits and Veggies, that episode has a ton of tips on how to get more fruits and veggies into your kids' diet in a way that hopefully they'll enjoy and it doesn't feel like a chore to everyone. So again, one thing to not necessarily have to worry about, because we've kind of given you some of those helpful hints.
Yes, that episode is a particularly good one. So you may also be worried that your toddler is not eating enough in general. It's actually pretty rare for even a strong-willed kid to be so picky that they lose weight or stunt their own growth. As parents, we decide what goes on the plate, but the child decides how much goes into their mouth. And honestly, like, as parents, we tend to remember the worst days when they literally eat nothing, or maybe humor you by swallowing 2 grains of rice. You know, I mean, we all have those stories. But the majority of kids make it through this phase and come out on the other side with a wide enough palate to enjoy enough of a variety of foods to support good health and growth.
Yeah, yeah. Many parents also worry about toilet training, right? They hear the horror stories and then dread the process before even starting. So I would say my husband and I, with our first child, we took a pretty relaxed and slow approach, kind of let her lead. And even though I think it was the right approach for her and for us at that time, I did wonder at times, like, would this ever end?
I think we've all wondered that.
Right. And it did end, right? Yeah. And it ended, of course, and she became fully toilet trained. And I think it helped that she was in a daycare setting that was consistent with toilet training. She got to see other kids going to the potty. Now, of course, you know, some kids do have developmental or biological reasons for having difficulty with toilet training. But for most kids, there's really no need to worry. It can take an average of 3 to 6 months. That's about how long it took us. That's why it felt like so long, but that's typical, actually. Mm-hmm. And most kids are fully toilet trained by 3 years old. So, you know, back to comparison being the thief of joy, that, like, you know, mom in your kid's daycare who toilet trained her kid in a weekend, like, that's great that they were able to do that, but that is not typical, and that's not the expectation for you and your child. Probably you can take, you know, a little bit more of a slower pace,
and thank goodness for that,
right?
And then moving on to tantrums, we just have to share solidarity with you for this one.
Yeah.
Because it is not fun to say this, but tantrums are a normal part of child development. Little kids have big emotions.
So big.
Right? So big. I mean, yeah, way too big for the packaging.
Yeah.
So don't worry if your tiny little two-year-old is like sprawled on the floor because you forgot that he can only drink out of the red cup and you dared to give him the blue cup, you terrible person, you. Yes, even that is normal. And thankfully, toddler tantrums are a short-lived phase in the grand scheme of things.
Right, exactly. So that's our list for this show. And we'll share more resources on our show notes at HippocraticHost.com. And we just want to reiterate, it is natural to worry about your little one.
Right.
You know, things like safety and illness and academic achievement and discrimination. These are all understandable worries that parents have about their kids. Mm-hmm. We just hope that we've been able to help you feel less anxious about some of the more common concerns, or again, at least to know that you're not alone. We've gone through a lot of these ourselves too. And now it's time for our Physician Mom Hack of the Week.
So we said there's usually no need to stress over toilet training. Going slowly and steadily and letting your child lead tends to be a lower stress approach. But that's not to say that you can't encourage them along. One of our favorite hacks is to get your child underwear with their favorite characters or animals. So if your child loves Encanto or Black Panther or unicorns, buy underwear with those pictures and tell your child, we can't pee on Black Panther, he has to stay strong, or unicorns don't like to fly if they're wet. For a child who can understand, this could be a great motivator. And bonus hack, make potty time a little more relaxed by reading a book while your little one is on the toilet. The Sesame Street book, Pee is for Potty, is a fun one, with little flaps that your kid can open and close to keep them distracted and relaxed enough to empty that bladder.
So that's our show. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it every time that you spend time with us. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Hippocratic Host. And don't forget to subscribe. And we would love if you review us on Apple Podcasts. Reviewing our podcast helps other people just like you find the podcast. And we might even pick your review to share in a future episode. For example, LZUG+2 wrote, loved it. Witty and filled with useful tips. Very informed ladies. Thanks, LZUG+2. We appreciate you so much.
Yes, we do. Thanks, everyone, and talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Health and Home with the Hippocratic Hosts. Remember that all views expressed here are our own, not our employers, and all content is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as medical advice, nor the establishment of a doctor-patient relationship. Always consult your own physician or healthcare team for any medical issues.
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us, subscribe, and tell a friend. And check out our website at www.hippocratichosts.com for show notes on this and all our episodes. Can't wait to chat with you next time.